there, it's Liz, and today we are going to learn all about the Hungarian community of Dayton, Ohio, so stay tuned. Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Vas. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Szabó-Vas, and today I'm going to visit with Éva, president of the Magyar Club of Dayton, Ohio. Welcome, Éva.
Oh, thank you for having me on the program, Liz.
You bet. So tell us a little bit about where you were born and how you ended up in the U.S.
Well, that's an interesting story because my parents left Hungary in 1944 and they went to a little town called Passau in Germany and then left. They met there and then they left there when they married in 1949. And by that time, the war was over and people were struggling, so they became refugees and they went to Italy. And there in Italy, they were put on a boat because my parents were not welcomed by my father's family and he had been disowned. So he decided he wasn't coming to America. He was going to get the first boat that came to that went to either Australia or Brazil. Well, as it happens, the Australian ship came first. My mother was pregnant with me. Being the oldest, I guess I was close to being born on a boat. I don't know, but they left in October and didn't tell anybody that she was pregnant because they would have left her there. And my dad was not about to leave his wife,
sure,
pregnant or not, anywhere in Italy without him. So they got to Australia and I was born in Melbourne and I'm one of five children. And from that point on, I lived in Australia. We moved around a lot because my dad worked for the Australian Railroad. And after 5 years, my dad's family began looking for him, sent the American Red Cross to look for him. And in 1955, he already had four children. In 56, the fifth was born, excuse me. And it took them 3 years to convince my dad that the streets here in America were paved of gold. So after 3 years, he got tired of listening to that and hearing that. So he came over in October of 1957. My mother and five children, the youngest of which was only a year old, came over in January of 1958. And so that's how we got to the United States. And that's where I was born. So I consider myself Australian with Hungarian background. Hungarian culture is very important to me.
Okay. And where did you guys, when you came to the U.S. then, where did you come to? Well, was it a Hungarian community?
No, actually, the only Hungarians were my immediate relatives, my uncle and his family. And my father had told my mother in Australia, this is an English speaking country, you will speak English. So he never spoke Hungarian to us. My mother did. Mm-hmm. And so we picked up that was my real first language was Hungarian, but I never learned to read and write because my dad wouldn't allow it. My dad just felt he was Australian and that's all there was to it. So we came to California and in California, this is a funny story too. We stayed in Compton, California. Now, I'm a teacher by trade and in Compton, when my students ask me where I was born, where I was raised, and I say Compton, they say, oh, Mrs. Lazier, that's where gangster rap started. No, yeah, before that came long after me. It was not me. But I was Hungarian. I grew up listening to my grandmother, my dad's mother who was there. She spoke Hungarian occasionally. My uncle would speak Hungarian occasionally. but my mother all the time at home. So that's how I got acclimated to the Hungarian language.
Okay.
It wasn't until I was in high school. When I went to high school, I went to an all-girls prep school and I stayed there and I asked my mother to write the alphabet in Hungarian and a word that went with that particular letter. And from that, I taught myself how to read and write because her mother in Canada did not speak a word of English. And so in order to communicate with her, I had to learn to read and write so I could write letters to her. And when my mother was on the phone with her, I could talk to her. So I taught myself how to read and write.
That's pretty impressive because it's not easy at all.
Well, I found it rather easy, but that's because I was young and wanted. I was young and I wanted to learn.
And you had it in your ear. It's not like you were starting from zero.
You had it.
You were familiar with it. So
absolutely. Yep. You're absolutely right.
Okay. All right. So when and how did you end up in Dayton?
I was married to a military man, a Marine. I myself was a Marine and we married overseas. And I had gotten out when we got married and I had my first child. So he was stationed at Wright-Patterson. And so he moved the family. The two kids that we had, we moved to the Dayton area.
Okay. And did you get involved with the Mudyard Club right away?
Well, I didn't know there was a Mudyard Club. That's what's so interesting. And this is why it's so important for me now to talk about the Hungarian Club of Dayton, because I was flipping radio channels at the time, one time when my husband and I were driving down the road. And I heard Hungarian music and the Hungarian language being spoken. And I went, oh my gosh, this is Hungarian. This is the first time I'd really ever been associated with anything on the radio that was Hungarian. And so I found the station, called it, and found out that there was a Hungarian radio station, which unfortunately has long been gone since Al and Annie Curtez passed away. But I joined the club after that. And my mother and I both went to Hungarian lessons, even though we didn't need it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to reinforce the language and so was mom. I even took my children.
Oh, fun.
My two young children, they came with me. They know a few words, but they never really were interested enough to pick it up.
Well, not yet. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. I know.
There's always hope.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the Mudyard Club. Who can join it? And is knowing Hungarian an important part of joining the club? Or can you do it with just English?
That's a good question. Most of the members do not speak Hungarian.
Okay.
Most of the members simply have Hungarian roots, or they're are Magyar wannabes, we call them. Mm-hmm. They want to know about the Hungarian language. We had a treasurer, absolutely not a bit Hungarian, but she was treasurer of the club. And she was one of our biggest fans. Unfortunately, she passed away, but her husband is still a member of the club. And yeah. So no, you do not have to know Hungarian. You do not even have to be Hungarian. Okay. I belong to another club and I'm a member of that club and I'm not Czech Slovak. I just joined because of the camaraderie. But I can tell you this, they are the best. This group of Hungarians are the best group that I can promote because they are beautiful people. They have beautiful hearts and I love them all. Unfortunately, they're all around my age. They're getting up there in years and we want to keep the club going.
For sure.
And so keeping the club going is our main focus right now because though we have over 90 members, most of them don't come to meetings. We have about 40 or 45 that come to meetings.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you why that's pretty good. Why they come, it's mostly for the food.
Well,
Liz, we bring, when we have a meeting, one person is designated for each meeting to make some kind of Hungarian dish. Mm-hmm. And then everybody brings a potluck or something to share. We provide, you know, coffee and pop and the main dish and all the supplies. But everybody brings their own dish to supplement whatever we're having. Mm-hmm. And people love Hungarian food. Whether you're Hungarian or not, it doesn't matter. Yesterday, I was at a potluck. And I was asked to bring a Hungarian dish. I was asked to bring a dish called Leroko Krumpli. And they just go crazy over Hungarian food. Everybody loves it. So when there's food, people come.
You bet. And I love that you feature, you always have a Hungarian dish. And probably there's others that show up too. But for sure, there's going to be one that people are going to get to sample.
Whoever... the main dish, it's a regular size portion. Whoever is the cook, designated cook, and we sign up. Mm-hmm. And we not only do we sign up, but we sign up for a specific dish that we would like to cook.
Okay.
And it's always Hungarian. The only time it hasn't been Hungarian has been like New Year's, where we have sauerkraut and sausage or sauerkraut and pork. Mm-hmm. But even then, if I'm designated to cook, I'll cook sake goulash, which is sauerkraut and pork.
You bet.
So it just depends on who's cooking it. But most every other time, mm-hmm. When we have a meeting, we have a main dish that is strictly Hungarian. And Liz, as you know, Hungarian food can be cooked a number of ways. There's not only one way to cook a specific dish. There are several ways. And so, you know, it's always interesting to see someone else's take on something.
You bet. Because there is so much variety, from the regional to the adaptations that people use when they came to the United States and used what they could, or, you know, even how much something grew in their garden. You know, the year that you had more peppers, your lecho is probably going to have more peppers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I think there's a lot of variety, and I think people tend to forget that. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So, but it is fun because there are just some different tastes, and it's nice to see, you know, you might still go home and say, okay, I like mine the best, but at least you've tasted something else. And, you know, I think it's
fun. You may like the other one just as well as you like yours.
Exactly.
You know, it's just all what you're used to. It's all in what you're used to making. It's all in what you're used to.
Yeah.
What your tastes are. And what your family cooked.
Right. Well, I love that you guys have meetings with so much food. This sounds like a great, you know, I'm sad you guys are so far away, because it'd be fun to come to meetings with all this food.
Yeah. And we'd love to have you, Liz.
You know, fun food fellowship, you know, get a little business done.
Absolutely. You
know. So how can someone join the club?
Very easily. We do have a Facebook page. We also have a website, and I'm sure you're going to share both of those at the end of the program. But if you go on our website, which is MadyarClubOfDayton.org, there is a form that you can download and send in. It costs $20. That's all for the year.
Okay.
And that's mere pittance. Even during COVID, we collected it because our club members decided there's no reason not to be able to collect the $20, because it goes for all year and for all our purposes. And we do give donations and things like that. So yeah, just go on the website. There is a telephone number you can call, or you can always call me.
Okay.
And you can supply my number, which is 937-207-8748. And I'll be sure to make sure the right person gets it. We collect your $20 and you're in like Flint.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. And I will have make sure in the show notes, we'll include all the information so people know how to connect with you.
Thank you.
Because I think that, you know, even for me, you know, even though I can't regularly come to a meeting, it doesn't mean that there wouldn't be some time where, you know, the stars would align and I'd be in the neighborhood and I could come. So, and for $20, that's yeah. not.
And Liz, not we do our meetings on Zoom as well as in person.
Okay.
So you really could join.
Okay.
Anybody can join, because what I do is when the minutes are sent out, I send the Zoom meeting mm-hmm. along as well. So you can see what's going on. It's not just, you know, just the 40 of us or the 45 of us, because we've got people as far away as California that are members
oh, nice.
Of our club.
Okay.
Yeah. And so for them to see what is going on with the Dayton Hungarians is a really good thing. And that's why we have decided that we're going to keep the Zoom thing going even after COVID
okay.
is over.
Okay. Well, so, good. Well, I think, yeah. and I think a lot of people are moving to that too, because they've seen the advantage of the physical piece, not necessarily, you know, may not be a part of that we're all in the same neighborhood, but we right. are in the part of the bigger neighborhood of, you know, Hungarian Americans and supporting each other. And just, I think it's fun to know what's happening in Dayton or even the other communities that I'm a part of. So,
yeah. And Liz, we belong to the Eastern European Congress. David Boston, who was a former president, is on the board. Mm-hmm. And so the chairman of the Eastern European Congress and I are really good friends. And we are trying right now to get a bill passed in the Senate to form an Eastern European Commission, like the Spaniards have
mm-hmm.
here in Ohio. For anyone who is of Hungarian descent can go to this commission to get information on jobs, information on where you can find other Hungarians, where you can find Hungarian restaurants, and Magyar marketing would be in there. You know, mm-hmm. we'd be showing things from there. All that has been started. Now, it was stopped because of COVID.
Sure.
But now we have had a first reading of the bill and we're waiting for a second reading. I think that we're waiting for everything to catch up mm-hmm. and then there'll be a second reading. We'll give testimony, but we were so close and then COVID hit.
Right. Well, that sounds exciting.
It'll
yeah, be we're, good to have those resources available
absolutely.
For people, because I think that's part of the issue is that people just don't know.
Right.
You know, they could live right on top of something. And sometimes they just don't know about it. So the different
absolutely.
Ways of getting the information out is beneficial.
So. Yeah. And Eastern European Congress will, or commission will highlight all nationalities, not just Hungarians that are of mm-hmm. Eastern European descent. So
okay,
it's a good thing for the entire state.
You bet.
As well as for our club.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the activities that the Magyar Club hosts within a year. And you know, maybe what are the three most popular events?
The three most popular are Heritage Dance, which, by the way, I'll talk about later, is coming up
okay.
in October. Normally it's held in April. It's called the Spring Dance, but because of COVID, we had to move it to October. Going to be a little bit smaller this year, but I'll talk about that later. So the Heritage Dance. The other is Bacon Fry. We have our Bacon Fry coming up this Saturday in a local park at Pawpaw Pavilion. It is open to members and their families. So they bring their friends along, you know, mm-hmm. for that. And then the other one is the Guyash Dinner. We have one day usually in September or October, usually October, where we set aside a Saturday night and we cook a guyash out in a cauldron outside mm-hmm. under a fire. And then people come just for that and salad and drinks and that kind of thing. And it's until the guyash runs out.
Okay.
So there's always plenty of food and they love to come. And that's the same with the bacon fry. The bacon fry, we supply the bacon and the bread and the onions, the peppers and the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And then everybody brings a dish to share and we just have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Know, enjoying the food, enjoying the culture. You know, we just camaraderie.
Well, and we outside.
Yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
Absolutely. And this Saturday is going to be absolutely marvelous. But we also take part in, we help with a Hungarian booth at the World of Fair in Dayton. And it's there that the Hungarian dancers who are not really affiliated with us, not under our umbrella, but we certainly do make some donations to them. We help them out. And their booth is at the World of Fair, and we sell sausages and cabbage rolls, and people just come for that, as well as our pastries. Yeah. Can't forget our pastries, because Hungarian pastries are to die for.
They are.
You know, and we have them sometimes at our meetings. We offer a pastry baking. We'll show people how to make them.
Oh, nice.
And we make our own sausage.
Okay.
So these are things that we do all through the year. We just want to promote the best of the Hungarian culture. And I think food is probably the best.
Yeah.
The dancing is wonderful. The music is wonderful. And if you can be involved in those three things, then you're a true Hungarian, a true Magyar.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Those are some cornerstone things to be a part of. And I like what you said about the cooking part, that you still make your own sausage.
Yes,
that you let people, do you do some education on the cooking, let people come in and cook along with you?
Yeah, absolutely. If they want, we do cook Hungarian cabbage rolls and sausage and that kind of thing for our dance, our big dance coming up, for whatever we're having. And yes, people are welcome to come to those. And those are usually on our website. And the next pastry baking, if somebody wants to come, is going to be on the 21st of September, because our dance is October 9th.
Okay.
So anybody who wants to come, we do it at Macaulay Hall, which is the hall at Mary Queen of Martyrs in Dayton. And it's on Dixie, off of Dixie.
Okay.
And we do it there. And if you've never baked anything, now's the time to come and we'll show you how to do it.
Yeah. Well, and after you roll like 400 stuffed cabbages, then you become a pro right away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right away.
Yep.
You don't even have to ask for the recipe.
That's right. Yeah. You'll know it all by the time you're done with the day of working with the club.
Right.
Well, good. So let's talk a little bit more about the upcoming dance, the heritage dance.
Okay. The heritage dance, as I said, is usually in April. It's usually the third Saturday of April. But because of COVID, we had to move it. And also because of COVID, we didn't know how many people were inclined to be out.
Right.
So rather than have it where we usually have it, Temple Beth Orr, we decided this year that we would only sell 200 tickets. Because the venue that we're using is the Czech Slovak Club, and it is at 922 Valley Street in Dayton. And it is on Saturday, October 9th. Adults are $20, unless you're a member of the club, and then it's $15. And children 6 to 12 are $8, and under 6, they're free. The buffet starts at 6 to 7:30, and Liz, we're going to have the George Bachi Gypsy Band.
Oh, fun.
Cymbalum.
Oh, wonderful.
Cymbalum. So we get excited about that. pastries, Hungarian pastries will be on sale and there will be door prizes. There'll be additional soda, beer, and wine available, mostly, well, anything you really, really want. And we're going to have a 50-50 raffle.
Okay.
So anybody who's interested in getting tickets for that, like I said, they're only selling 200 and that will sell out because we usually sell between 350 and 300 and 350, maybe even more some years.
Okay.
But because we've got the George Bacci band and a cymbalum, I expect those 200 tickets to be gone very, very quickly. So anybody who wants to buy tickets can call and make a reservation at 937-776-5944. But they have to do it before September 21st because we've got to know how many dinners we're going to be serving that day. And it is buffet. So okay. We'll have salad and kolbas and chicken paprikash. We'll have gnocchetli. We'll have paprikash potatoes, bread, and a beverage for that price, okay, as well as the dance. So, okay, you know, if you can put that up in the credits, that would be great. Mm-hmm. If not, they can always call me too. Okay. I'll be glad to take their reservation. So, you know, if you leave my email address and my telephone number and I will get back to them.
Okay.
But
all right,
it's always a fun time.
Well, it sounds like it. And it's, you know, it's all those things. It's the food, it's the music, it's, and so people can dance to the music, or will the dancers be there too?
The dancers, we haven't been able to get in touch with them yet. So I'm not sure if they're going to be there or not.
Okay.
But I can tell you, you can dance to this music.
Good,
because
good.
George Bacci is a great band. He and his band always do a great job for us. And yeah, we dance all the time.
Well, that's part of the Hungarian life.
Yeah. Dance.
You
just
bet.
Enjoy the Hungarian culture.
You bet. Okay.
Yeah. And especially with a Hungarian band.
Yes.
It's not just that it's a band, it's a Hungarian band.
Yeah.
So they'll be playing a lot of csárdáshes. We do the quack quacks on the chicken.
Oh yeah.
Chicken dance. Mm-hmm. We do that every time we play for the veterans. I mean, there's a variety of music. It's not just Hungarian, but it's mostly Hungarian.
Okay.
So anybody can dance to it. And I hope they do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a fun evening for sure.
Yes.
And a lot of prep on your guys's end, you know, getting ready for the event and the cooking and all that comes with the ahead of time work. So,
yeah, but we love to do it.
Well,
we love our culture.
It is fun. And it's a fun way to get people engaged with it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about that you and I had talked about the other day was that there is a Bognar scholarship for students at Wright State University. Can you talk a little bit about that? How it works?
Okay. We had a member, his name was Bela Bognar. He was one of the 56ers that came over. He escaped right after the revolution. He took part in the revolution. I was fortunate enough and honored to have written a biography. Actually, not written it. I had translated it from Hungarian to English.
Okay.
Duh. Anyway, I had translated from Hungarian into English, but it's the story of him during the revolution and his escape from Hungary, which was quite sudden. He had to go to Belgium. But Bela, when he was still in school, and when I'm saying school, I'm talking about college, got him with a Hungarian priest, and together they raised funds for people who could not afford to go to college. So he had done this so long, and even after he escaped to Belgium, he continued to do it even after he was married. And when he came to the United States, he started working at Wright State and started again to solicit donations for anybody who wanted to go to college. So he has actually, he is part of two different scholarships.
Okay.
One is for Hungarians in Hungary, Hungarians who cannot afford to go to college. So we sponsor them through the Bognár Scholarship. And the other is for any American or any youngster of Hungarian descent who would like to go to Wright State can get a scholarship from the Bognár Scholarship. Now, the second scholarship has been incorporated into a larger one. We support both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that larger one, honestly, right now, Liz, I can't yet think of the name of it, but I can get back to you with that and tell you what the name of the larger scholarship is. But it brings students from Hungary over to the United States to go to college.
Okay.
So, yeah. And Bela was the person to go to if you wanted to get a scholarship. We're negotiating right now with Wright State to see if the Magyar Club can take over that Bognár Scholarship in memory of Bela, who was one of the founders, I believe, of this club. Let me see for sure. No, he wasn't one of the founders, but he was one of the first members later on.
Okay.
So, yeah, our club was established in 1963. So we've had several presidents since then. And Bela was just a wonderful person. A wonderful person.
Well, it sounds like it. He was very forward thinking, even in his younger years.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah. He went around with this priest, and because he was younger than the priest, he was able to solicit a lot of donations from people who knew him, from people who didn't know him, because he was a youngster. At least that's what he called himself. And yeah, and so he continued that. And I think that was part in his blood. He wanted everybody to get a chance to go to college. And however he could do it, he did it. And so when he became a professor at Wright State, that's when he decided to start this fund.
Okay.
And it's been subsisting ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you for explaining that to me, because there's not often things that are connected to Hungarian heritage in terms of scholarship. There's a few. And so this is a nice addition, particularly for the local university.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not sure, I have to get with the program, the Bognár Scholarship Program, to see if it's just Wright State. At one time, it was just Wright State. Maybe now it's expanded. I don't know.
Okay.
But they're in limbo right now because, unfortunately, Bela and his wife passed away a couple years ago. And there is a part of the university that is named after him. And we don't know what's going to happen with the scholarship. So, as I said, the Magyar Club is trying to take it over and see what we can do to preserve
it. Keep it going. Sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
All right.
That's important.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Ava. It was great to learn more about the Hungarians in Dayton and to learn more about the Magyar Club. And it just sounds like so much fun. And so we will make sure that we include the information that you talked about earlier in the show notes so that people can get connected with you.
Oh, please do. We are looking for younger members who are going to grow up with that culture, that love of their roots deep within their hearts. That's the whole objective. Okay. I mean, not only do we do this for ourselves, but we do this for future generations, because as you know, Liz, we're all getting old.
Yeah. We're getting older.
I'm getting old. I don't feel old, but my body tells me I am. At any rate, it's the future of the Hungarians here in the United States that we want to provide that culture for them. We want them to know that there's something out there that takes them back to their roots, that keeps their roots alive. In fact, we have shirts that have a tree of life, and it's the leaves are red, white, and blue, because we're all Americans. Mm-hmm. And the roots are red, white, and green.
Okay.
And it says Americans with Hungarian roots.
Okay.
So we would love to have you join our club. Hey, you can join with Zoom.
That's right. We all know how to use Zoom these days.
Meetings. You can come to our meetings and anybody can join. All they have to do is look on the website. Okay. So it has been a pleasure talking to you about the Hungarian Club. It is near and dear to my heart. It is near and dear to all the 90 members that we currently have. And I really, really, really would like to see more young people interested in their heritage. And awesome. That's the purpose.
Yep.
That's our mission, to bring our heritage to the new generations.
Well, that's awesome. I totally support that. That's definitely what we're about too. So I love that we could team up and work together with the podcast and other projects. So it's been awesome to visit with you.
Thank you, Liz, for having me. And thank you to all your listeners.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Ava. And if you know of a Hungarian community that should be featured on the podcast, send an email to podcast@hungarianliving.com and let us know all about it. We will include links in the show notes on how to get connected with the Dayton Hungarians, and those can be found at hungarianliving.com. We'll talk to you next time. Hungarian Living is a division of Magyar Marketing, the Hungarian store, where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at MagyarMarketing.com. And special thanks to Stephen Cicek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.